Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, brought to you exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network. It is so good to have every single one of you. I am Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired alongside nobody. It's just me. Y'all got just me for this episode. This is the very first solo episode that I have done since the Bills season ended, and I was magnanimously came at you, and I said that Stephon Diggs was going nowhere. That was the last solo episode that I did for the Bills Mafia, and since then, it's been me and somebody else, whether John and Jerry, Bills beat reporter, a guest, somebody, but so hopefully this one goes a little bit better. No promises, but yes, you've got just me. Do me a favor. Please like, please subscribe, whatever platform you are consuming this podcast, this vidcast on, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube, wherever, if you're listening to it in podcast form, in post, please do me a favor on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, somewhere around there. Please do me a favor. Please like and subscribe. Welcome to everybody that is in the comments section. Amanda is in the comments section. Scott Blakely, Richard Rush is always here. Bella is here. It's so good to see you. And Bella, thank you so much for all the retweets and tweets and just the promotion for our show. And then FJ is here as well. It's so good to have every single one of you. If you are over on Twitter, X, or on Facebook, jump over to YouTube. There's a little bit of a better community over there. But yes, as we always like to say, or at least I like to say, I don't say it much anymore because the other guys have to sit through it. But whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, on the drive to work, or watching me live right now, let me just say one more time, welcome. And we're also drinking bourbon in honor of me being here by myself. So cheers to you, Bills Mafia. It is so good to have you. So if you are wondering, just real quick, where my co-hosts are, John Fina, currently unavailable due to some family obligations, some things going on. And then Jerry Ostrowski, God love his soul, so deserving, is on vacation. But the show must go on. Y'all are stuck with me. Y'all are just stuck with me. But we're going to do we're going to talk Buffalo Bills as we always do. We're going to talk OTAs. We're going to talk a little bit of mini camp and kind of some things that we're going to expect in, on, and around what's going to happen this week. Before we do that, just kind of an OTA recap and some information for you, the fans, so you know what to expect over the next coming days. This is going to be the next couple days as far as the media is going to be somewhat involved, I believe, on Tuesday again. The final step before we get to see the most different version of the Buffalo Bills that we have seen in a very, very long time. Keeping in mind, again, the Bills have jettisoned five captains off of this roster and several other players. When you look at the wide receiver core, there's only two players coming back that even had reps last year in the regular season in Andy Isabella and obviously Khalil Shakir. So like the entire wide receiver core is going to look very different. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I'm excited. I think Bills Mafia is kind of excited to see the next rendition of who the Buffalo Bills are going to be. And, you know, let's be honest, predictions are very much all over the place for this team. Preseason predictions, you know, some have them still the best in the AFC East, maybe second or third in the conference. I think their odds of winning the Super Bowl are 14-1, I think is the number. More assuredly because of Josh Allen, right? As long as Josh Allen is on your football team, you know, we've seen this young man will this team to win time and time again. Others have the Bills team, this Bills team third in the East. Third. Nobody has them fourth. The Patriots are going to be dog crap. The Patriots are going to be dog crap this year. Just accept it. If you're a Patriots fan and somehow you've stumbled onto this show on YouTube or my podcast, your team's going to be dog crap this year, like worse than last year. But anyway, the Bills, some people have them finishing third behind the Jets and the Dolphins and possibly not making the playoffs, you know, due to what a lot of people feel like is somewhat of a rebuilding year this year for the Buffalo Bills. And I don't know that it's a rebuild. I think Jerry Ostrowski has been coined as calling it like a soft reset. But it's going to be interesting to see kind of what happens. But even inside of the moves, and we've talked a lot about it, the moves on the roster, You've also got, you know, Joe Brady coming in the very first season that he is the full-time offensive coordinator with that title, the full-time offensive coordinator and have a whole season. The Bills have a new defensive coordinator in Bobby Babich. There's just a lot in flux. There's a lot going on. There's a lot surrounding this team. Not that there's not a lot surrounding other teams, but when you look at what the Jets have done, the Jets probably have the most complete roster in the AFC East. The question is always and forever going to be, can their quarterback stay healthy? And if he can, they could be a very dangerous team. Now, the Dolphins offense is a boat race, a 1,000% boat race every single weekend, regardless of who they're playing, as long as Tua stays healthy. The problem is their defense is probably not going to be great this year. They're missing some guys off the edge. So is it possible the Bills could come in third in the AFC East? It is possible. Is it probable? It's probably not probable. Does that make sense? Probably not probable. It's improbable. We'll just say it that way, that the Bills are going to come in third place in the AFC East. But I am a Bills fan. I'm somewhat of a homer, and it's hard to be objective. We love our football team. We love our Buffalo Bills. You know, it's hard to believe that they don't win 10 games this season. Even when you look at the schedule in front of them, it's hard to believe that they don't win 10 games at least. But there are, regardless, a ton of question marks on this roster. And we're going to get some of those questions answered this week during minicamp. Not a bunch of them, but it's going to be it's going to be one step closer, if you will, to the regular season. Before I get into all of this, I'm going to take another sip of my drink. I am here to answer some questions if you have them. I'm not going to keep you very long for this episode. I'll do my best. If I see the question, I'm going through kind of some notes, and that's the good thing about when you have a co-host, is somebody can kind of pay attention to the comment section while somebody else is talking. If you feel so inclined to throw a super chat in there, I will see it. So if you've got a question, I'll do my best to answer it. But please know I am definitely not 100% not ignoring you. But let's talk real quick about what the Buffalo Bills have been doing the last, you know, couple of months. If we get a breakdown, if you will, of what the OTAs are, just in case anybody hasn't really been keeping up or you're tuning in for the first time in a couple of months. Phase one, the Bills went through phase one, as all teams did, consists of the first 2 weeks of the program with limited activities and limited the activities are limited to meetings, strength and conditioning, and physical rehabilitation only. The players could go out on the field and throw the ball around. Some players could, but the coaches couldn't be out there, and it could be any type of organized stuff. So basically, the first 2 weeks of OTAs is all meetings, strength and conditioning, and then, you know, just coaching up of, like, maybe some film study. I'm not sure. There's some ridiculous, like, rules in there. Like, the coaches can't be on the field, as I said, and no defensive players are allowed to catch footballs. So that's like a phase one rule. Defensive players can, so a defensive player can't just be like, Terrell Bernard can't say, hey, pick another Cole Bishop, let's go play catch. They're not allowed to do that. Like, just ridiculous things in phase one. Phase two consists of on the field workouts. They may include individual or group instruction and drills, as well as what they call perfect play drills. And drills and plays with offensive players lining up across from the offensive players. And so the offense lining up across from the offense and the defense lining up across from the defense. It conducted at a walkthrough pace. No live contact or team offense versus team defense drills are permitted in phase two until phase three, which is basically where the Bills have been for the last couple of weeks. Phase three, which they have it listed as the next 4 weeks, and then they narrow it down to the amount of days they can practice. So for some teams, it might not be 4 weeks, but it says the next 4 weeks may conduct a total of 10 days of organized team practice activity or OTAs. This is where we are now. We're at the end of week, or I should say probably week four of phase three. No live contact is permitted, but 7-on-7, 9-on-7, and 11-on-11 drills are permitted. All of these OTAs up until now have been voluntary. Organized team activity, voluntary. Very structured, very scheduled, and the Bills obviously comply to all of those things. Now, what happens is this mandatory minicamp has to happen inside of phase three. So there's a stipulation inside of phase three that those last 4 weeks, and they never really say where, but most teams do it at the end. Mandatory minicamp where everybody that's on the roster, all the veterans, everybody has to be present, right? So they get 3 days of practices inside of that mandatory portion for all the veterans and all the rookies. Happens inside of phase three. That's what we're about to enter this week. And there's several teams that started last week. But we're going to get into some topics, right? So real quick. And Doug is in the chat, is right on top of it, because my first topic is effectively attendance. And Doug says, concerned about Rasul not being at OTAs. Now, was it Jerry and I talked about it on Thursday last week, I believe. And I did some more digging and some more research. And Rasul Douglas, as far as the conversation that Jerry and I had, you know, 29 years old, into his final year of his contract, Jerry talked about just being a player and the agents and everybody understanding that when you get into that final year, into those final years of a contract, and you're butting up, or, you know, against that 30 number as far as age, there's kind of a race to get a new deal. And at the same time, the teams, you know, tend to probably want to slow play you into 30, because when you're talking about contract negotiation, 3-0 is a big difference than 2-9, unless you are a crazy superstar, future Hall of Famer like Von Miller, who got an insane amount of money from the Buffalo Bills at, what was he, 33, 32, 33 when he got his. So we talked about Rasul Douglas, and is there potential there? Because he is, it's been reported he's been a no-show at OTAs. That has been reported by the beat reporters, with the understanding that they can only be there on Tuesdays. So as far as the beat reporters that we've had on this, on the beat, on this network, they have all basically said Rasul Douglas is the only guy that we have not seen. And I got clarification from Matt Perino last week, and I asked, is it confirmed that Rasul Douglas has not been there at all? And he said that has not been confirmed. He definitely has not been in there, been there on Tuesdays on media day. However, there have also been no pictures of him released by the Bills social media team of Rasul Douglas in the facility. There's been no real conversation, no anything as far as that goes. There's been no real secondary site, if you will, of Rasul Douglas. So it's widely speculated and probably confirmed at this point that Rasul Douglas has not been to any of the OTAs thus far. Now, the question is, all that to say this, is he going to show up this time? Tomorrow, Monday, or today, if you're listening to this in podcast form, or if it's Tuesday, yesterday. It is reported, I did some digging, as I said earlier, that Rasul Douglas did the same thing in Green Bay. So Green Bay, he did the same thing last year, 2023, and I think 2022 as well. He kind of does his own workout routine, does his own thing, and he did not show up to organized team activities that were voluntary last year in Green Bay. So I would probably venture to guess that we are going to see Rasul Douglas in Buffalo in practice Monday, and more than likely there'll be video of him on Tuesday when the media, the Bills beat folks, get there. So I think we could potentially put that to rest. However, if he doesn't show up, what does that mean? It could mean a lot of things. Primarily, what it's going to mean is that he more than likely is looking for more time on his contract, right? 1, 2, 3 more years. It could mean that he's injured. It could also mean that he's excused. The question is when will we find out? So we're going to pretty much, you know, walk into Tuesday, probably already knowing that he's not there, if he's not there. And then we're not going to find out until pressers, right, with Sean McDermott. Hey, Rasul Douglas is the only person, or one of the only people, that isn't here. What is the reason? And Sean McDermott hopefully doesn't step on himself the way that he did last year with Stephon Diggs. Hopefully this year he answers that question in a way that we can all, digest it? Is that the best way to say it, without the entire world losing its mind over the fact that Rasul Douglas isn't here? But if I had to guess, if I was a betting man, and I tend to be wrong, as I said at the top of the show, the last show that I did with you solo was Stephon Diggs isn't going anywhere. And lo and behold, Stephon Diggs is no longer Buffalo Bill. So if I'm a betting man, I'm betting that Rasul Douglas is going to be in Buffalo for mandatory mini camps. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I am right. I have no insider information. I have no idea if he's in town right now, but he could be. We'll see. The other thing, or one of the other things that they're going to be looking at, or that you can kind of expect this week, is going to be installations, further installation into both the offense and the defense. You know, Joe Brady, he wants to put his spin on things as it pertains to what he said were things that he likes to do. and the things that he thinks are important. So we're going to see more of that this time against the defense in 7-on-7, 11-on-11, no contact drills. You know, he did say, however, that this is Josh Allen's offense and we're going to do things that Josh Allen likes to do, which, you know, as fans, we want to hear that. He also said that he has learned a lot from his previous time in Carolina and the mistakes that he made there. So there's going to be some, I'm interested to see what the beat reporters have to say following Tuesday this week, just as maybe they kind of see a little bit of differences than what they've seen in the past from this offense playing against this defense. Bobby Badgett, or I keep saying Bobby Badgett, Bobby Babich. I've even got his name written down right in front of me and I still can't pronounce it. Bobby Babich has been noted as the loudest voice on the practice field even before he became the defensive coordinator. Said that he would be a fool to not lean on McDermott and use him for his wisdom or use him and his wisdom. He did say that things are largely going to stay the same with this defense, you know, and he did talk very pointedly about Kair Elam as well, that they're just asking him to take it one play at a time, that the ship has not sailed, basically, is what he had said. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that they're not, you know, done with him, that, you know, he has every opportunity to prove himself, but they're asking him to take it one play at a time, which is good to hear as a former first round draft pick. But he did say, like I said, that things will largely stay the same with this defense. And he is as ready as he could possibly be to call plays if he's called upon to do so, with the reality that he has never called plays before. So it is still up in the air as to whether who is going to call them, whether it's Sean McDermott or Bobby Babich. Said it right that time. Take that. It's going to be interesting as the installations for both the offense and the defense kind of push forward and kind of continue to move forward as both of these guys are, we'll call it new. Right. Joe Brady did get 8 games. I think it was 8 games last year or 10 games. And then obviously Bobby, you know, first time as a defensive coordinator. This will be as well a very big test for all of the rookies, albeit non-contact. It's assuredly going to put the rookies when you're talking about Keon Coleman and you're talking about Cole Bishop. You know, there's going to be a measure on how much they've learned or consumed or retained of the playbooks, the respective playbooks for the sides of the ball that they're on. You know, when you look at Keon Coleman and you look at Cole Bishop and, you know, 7-on-7s, you would expect there to be an uptick as they're no longer going to be going against offense, offense, defense, defense. It will be offense versus defense and then defense versus offense, respectively for, you know, the wide receivers and the offense and then the defensive backs versus the versus the offense. So you'd expect an uptick there, some energy. It's going to be fun to see. Just kind of how deep they are, like I said, into these respective schemes. Looking forward to it. I am, especially some of the video that we're going to see. I feel like there was some offense versus defense like stuff last week, even though when I look at the rules and I read the rules, it says it can only be 3 days of it in the mandatory portion. I don't know. Maybe there was a non-mandatory portion of, like, maybe they paired out one of those days, right? So maybe they're just going to do 2 days of practices, mandatory offense versus defense. We'll see. I mean, we're never really told all of the information. We're given bits and pieces, and then we try to do the best we can to kind of glean that information from the beat reporters as well. This is also going to be, as I'm kind of working through a lot of content here for you guys, again, just more of an informative podcast, the beginning of the wide receiver determinations, who is going to make this roster from a wide receiver standpoint. How many wide receivers are the Buffalo Bills going to keep? They've traditionally kept around 6, right? And then they stuff a couple guys on the practice squad. But when you look at the guys that are on this roster, you can pretty much assume that 3 of them, right, are making this team. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel. Locks to make the roster. Unless something crazy happens or there's an injury, those 3 guys are making this roster. Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir. Behind them on the depth chart, you've got recently acquired Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And there's been a lot of how do you want to say it? There's been a lot of mixed emotions about Marquez MVS being on this football team. When he came in, it was wildly reported and kind of like felt that he drops a lot of footballs. I was one of the ones as well that said it. And then, you know, the people with the fine statistics get in and talk about how he doesn't drop the football much. He just has dropped a couple big balls in big games. So, but MVS is on this roster now, and you kind of have to assume that he's probably going to make it. He's got Super Bowl rings. He's played with Aaron Rodgers. He's played with Patrick Mahomes. You got to expect that he's got something that he's going to be able to bring to this offense. The second one in the second line of the depth chart, Mac Hollins. A lot has been made of Mac Hollins this offseason, especially how vocal he is on the field, his activity, his energy on the field. I would say from the conversations that I have had with beat reporters that there's a very good feeling that Mac Hollins is going to make this roster. So now you're looking at five of the potential six. And let's be honest, the Bills could keep just five. And if they keep just five, the other seven guys on this roster right now are in the wind. Several of them potentially coming back as practice squad players. If I had to guess, though, I would imagine that they're going to keep six. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Interesting because the Bills signed another guy that had mixed reviews upon his arrival in Chase Claypool. But every piece of information that we have received about Chase Claypool in OTAs and practice has been nothing but stellar. That this kid is back. He's out to prove that he is the player that he was his first 2 years in the league, not the player that he has been the last couple of years that he's been in the league. There's even mixed reviews about that. Yeah, great. Chase Claypool is showing up and quote unquote showing out. I still don't want him on the roster. I'll be honest with you. He's a big bodied, sure handed, fast wide receiver. If he can return to form and control his temperament and his attitude and we'll call it the diva-ness that some wide receivers get. He's a guy that I would like to have on this team. But when you look at it, a lot of these guys are going to pose matchup nightmares, and Chase Claypool is another one. So there, now you've got six, which effectively puts a guy like Justin Shorter, a fifth-round draft pick last year, on the outs. But we've seen the Bills many times before take a guy like Justin Shorter, and we're speaking specifically of Isaiah Hodgins, and stash him on the practice squad, which is not outside the realm of possibility. But you've got Justin Shorter, KJ Hamler, Andy Isabella, Tyrell Shavers, Brian Thompson, and Xavier Johnson, the Ohio State kind of gadget guy, all on the outs. If the depth chart as ESPN sees it right now has those top six making the team, those bottom six probably aren't. And then it's a question of who does, in fact, make the practice squad. You've got to expect Justin Shorter. You got to wonder if KJ Hamler does. And then if I had to put money on it, I'm probably in the Xavier Johnson and Tyrell Shavers camp. But it's going to be fun to see if some of those guys begin to separate themselves in what we would call live action, even though it's not contact live action. But it's going to be fun to see and kind of hear the reports and see the video of who's doing what on the football field in mandatory minicamp. After this, there's pretty much, so once minicamp is over and I'm showing another ad in the middle of a live program. Everybody, I'm sorry that this is happening. I don't know why that it's happening, but for some reason, YouTube is electing to put live ads in the middle of our YouTube live feeds. Actually, two this time. We got two. I wonder if there'll be a third. I got two. Will we get a third? I hit skip. No, it's back. To all of you, and I'll type a message, to all of you watching live, I am sorry that that keeps happening. I will look into it further. I don't know why it's happening to us, but it seems to be happening. So apparently it's a setting somewhere that we keep getting ads in our live feeds. Anyway, as far as just what's going to happen after this, so the Bills go through this mandatory minicamp portion, and then it's effectively a six-week desert. The Bills are gone. The players are gone for 6 weeks. They're going to be in Cabo and like Mexico and all over the place. And good for them. right? As they get to connect with their families for the next 6 weeks, a lot of them have children and wives and everything else, and they get to spend time relaxing and kind of getting their heads right. And some of them will still be practicing. And I know that there's probably scheduled times for Josh to get together with the wide receivers and at like practice someplace south and like where coaches aren't. And there'll be probably photographers and videographers there, but it's going to be a 6 week, what I would call dead time, right? Dead zone. And as I've told you guys every year since I've started doing this, 2019, don't wish your summer away. Whatever you do, don't wish your summer away. Enjoy the summer that we get before the craziness of football season starts. And I have to sidebar because Daniel Gowers is in the comment section and he says he's talking about the live commercials. He said it used to be porn bots. Now it's ads in the live feeds. I'm not sure if this is progress or not. It's so absolutely true. That's he's dead on. That's how Daniel's been watching. He's been watching a long time, and that's exactly right. But yes, don't wish your summer away, everybody. 6 weeks is a long time, but it's not going to be too long. So enjoy every minute of the warmth. Enjoy every minute of summer. Find a boat, go out on it, swim, spend some time hiking, go camping, do something with your family. Keep listening to the Overreaction Sports Network and me, John and Jerry, but don't wish your summer away. We'll be here with you. We'll be here with you to effectively kind of keep the content rolling, even if we're making stuff up and talking about the color of the jerseys and which colors we like better. But we're going to keep the content rolling for you after this week. The On the Beat program is going to continue. This week, we have Nate Geary on the beat. So Nate Geary is going to be joining us from WGR 55. I believe next week is, no, 2 weeks, John. I can't remember off the top of my head. I get like caught in my brain as far as who's coming up next. I know Nate Geary is Tuesday. Not sure who's coming up after that. But we also have Mike Giardi. So one of the 3 weeks before, or I should say 3 of the weeks before training camp begins, the 3 weeks before, we're actually going to have beat reporters from the other three teams in the AFC East. And I have confirmed, we've confirmed Mike Giardi to be on for the New England Patriots. So I'm super excited about that. But yeah, that's pretty much all that I've got for you for this here program, this episode of the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show. A lot of good stuff coming up this week. A lot of good things to key in on and pay attention to. Stay on your Twitter feed, your Facebook feed, whatever feed you're getting your bills with, TikTok. I know that a lot of people like look to TikTok for their bills news, as well as Instagram. There's going to be a lot of good stuff, a lot of good videos out there. Stick with us. Come back Tuesday for Nate Geary. And then obviously Thursday we'll be back as well for the Big O Show. And with that, do me a favor, as Bella just said, please like, please subscribe. So jump on that like button. And then please make sure that if you have not subscribed to this here show, please do so. But for John, for Jerry, for everybody involved, we appreciate you. We love you. We thank you guys so much for tuning in and joining us. This one is going to be short. Got you done in under 30 minutes. But for me, for John, for Jerry, for everybody, go Bills.